Okay. In Acts 3, it says that God has made him both Lord and Christ. He is the Christ that shed his blood for our salvation. He is the Lord over his people. And Matthew 16 would be a good chapter to go to that talks about his lordship. And there's a lot of others. But what I want to get to here this evening is that if you really know that he is your Lord and you're aware of your relationship with him, you never have to worry about where you are or what the circumstances are round about you. He is the Lord over your life, and as your Lord, it's his responsibility to lead you and to guide you to the place that he has prepared for you. It's our responsibility to follow, to be led by his Spirit, to hear his voice, and to follow him wherever he goes. That's important. And there's two examples that I want to use about his lordship and in following him or his leading us. And one is found in 1 Kings 17 that has to do with Elijah the Tishbite. The other one is in Philippians chapter 4. So we'll be going to those two places. To start with, I'm going to read a few verses from 1 Kings 17. It's spoken of Elijah that he was a prophet of the Lord. He knew the Lord, and he followed his lead. I stand amazed when I read about Elijah. We know that he ministered to the school of the prophets, but he wasn't running down to the local synagogue to have a service every Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday evening. He wasn't following a religious routine. He was just available. Elijah was always available whenever the Lord wanted to use him, and he was always ready. Verse 1 says, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab the king, wicked old guy, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand. See, he knows his place. He knows who he is. I stand before the Lord. In other words, I am always in his presence. It makes no difference whether I'm talking to you, Ahab. It makes no difference whether I'm ministering to the school of prophets. It doesn't make any difference if I'm in my little old hut, sitting in there doing whatever I happen to be doing. I'm standing before the Lord. This is my presence. My presence is always before the Lord. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. That's bold. That is bold. He knew who he was. He knew his standing with the Lord. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, alright, so he gives the word about it not raining, and then the Lord speaks to Elijah and says, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is, before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. See how the Lord's leading? You'll go down to the brook, Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. How would you like to get, how would you like for the Lord to tell you something like that? Now, won't you go down to this particular place? A little brook down there. Won't you just sit down by that brook? I'm commanding the ravens to come down there and feed you. People think you're a nut to start with. So, what did Elijah do? He went and did according unto the word of the Lord. See, God might tell you something that seems utterly ridiculous, but you have to be like those sheep in John chapter 10 to know his voice and to know that it's him speaking to you. You see, God's going to command some ravens, and these ravens are going to feed me down to that brook Cherith. Okay. So, but he went, and he did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. Had it made, didn't he? Now that might not be the kind of life that you would like to have, live down there by this brook. Got plenty of water to drink, and these birds flying in, bringing you food. Sounds a little wild, doesn't it? And it came to pass in verse 7, after a while, the brook dried up because there had been no rain. Now, he spoke that there would be no more rain. And because the rain stopped, the brook dried up. He shot himself in the foot. Some would say, you know. And the word of the Lord came to him again. Now, he didn't sit there complaining. God, what about this brook where I'm supposed to drink? And the ravens, what happened to the ravens too? The Lord speaks to him. He's calm. He's waiting. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And the widow woman said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, not even a little raisin cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah, this is all we got. Just enough to make a couple of little cakes for me and my son. And Elijah said to her in verse 13, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and after that, make for yourself and for your son. Elijah, I just got enough to make a couple of cakes here. We're going to eat it and die. Well, before you do that, make me one. And here's the thing. God said, Elijah, I have commanded this woman to sustain you there. But he gets there. The woman doesn't know anything about it. But see, in all of these circumstances, God's leading Elijah. He said, could God make it a little easier? Couldn't he have one of the prophets from the school of prophets come over and say, Brother Elijah, I got a word from the Lord for you. And this is what you're to do. Don't worry about that old brook Cherith and the ravens. He's got something fantastic for you. He has prepared a table for you in the wilderness. You know, give you a good word is going to build up his flesh. That's what most prophets today would do. But no, didn't do that. He is leading Elijah by the circumstances. Now, what if this thing had been turned around in the reverse? That God has spoken to the woman and not to Elijah. And said, I want you to prepare something for Elijah. And but Elijah doesn't know it, but all of a sudden here the brook dries up. The ravens are not coming anymore. They're not bringing the food or the bread. What's going on here? But this little woman's down there, and she's all prepared and got a couple of cakes for him. It could go either way, but nevertheless, the Lord is using the circumstances. And other people in the circumstances don't always know what the Lord is doing. But he said, I have commanded her to feed you there. How did he command her? He commanded her through the events, through the circumstances, through the things at hand. He made sure that she had enough oil and enough meal to make a couple little cakes, raisin cakes is what they were, so that she could give Elijah something. And he's going to work a miracle. So the cruise of oil doesn't stop. You know the story. But God is working in the events. Now, nowhere in here do you find Elijah complaining. Lord, isn't things supposed to work out a little better than this for a prophet of God? I'm the one who stands in the presence of the Lord here. I got a prophet's girdle on. Everybody knows what I am. And this chain of events is taking place here. They're not so good. What's going on? But the Lord is leading and he's guiding. And I just want us to see how the Lord is leading Elijah through the events, through the circumstances, things that are happening. Now turn to Philippians, I believe. And let's see how the Lord is leading Brother Paul. What did I say it was? Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let's start reading with verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Whether I'm sitting down there by the brook Cherith, or whether the ravens are bringing the food in, and instead of my servant doing it. What's happened to Elisha and all this thing? Elisha is the one who served Elijah, poured water on his hand. But he wasn't in the story. Paul is saying, I'm not speaking in respect of all. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. In other words, regardless of what the circumstances are, I know that he's the Lord. And I know that he's going to take care of me. And it doesn't make any difference what the events and the circumstances round about me are. I may be going through difficult times, or there may be great blessings, but I know that the Lord leads me in all these things. And we were looking for the scripture a while ago about those who follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. We get this picture. We're following the Lord. Oh, he's taking us through pleasant places. You're taking us through the Garden of Eden. Wonderful things are happening. Sometimes he's leading us and we're not going through a wonderful thing. Sometimes we're going through a wilderness. Sometimes we're going through a very, very dry place. Sometimes things aren't so good. Sometimes there's a recession going on. Sometimes people are being laid off from work and losing their jobs. Sometimes there's not money enough to make the house payment. All kind of events take place, and the Lord uses all of these things to lead us and to guide us. You see. Now, if there wasn't a need, some of the things that you do wouldn't get done. First, God has to create a desire for it. He has to create a need, you see. So Paul says, I've learned how to be content with whatever state I'm in. Verse 12, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Some of the things that the Lord puts us through are really humiliating. Teaches us how to be humble. Teaches us humility and meekness. Teaches us how to be abased. Peter talks about in his epistle about sometimes we go through things where we look guilty when we're not. And then he says, I know how to abound. Sometimes the Lord leads us through events where we're bound. There's great blessings. But he also leads us through times when there doesn't seem to be any blessing. Now there was ministry that came through the Holy Spirit years ago that the time would come that the church would probably have to go underground. And I imagine that where we are right now, because of things that are happening in our country, there's a lot of Christians starting to get worried. I happen to have seen two occasions here within the last 10 days where one minister could not have Bible study in his house. Another situation where some religious folks were ministering to kids, but they weren't allowed to do it anymore. Because you can't have God involved in it, they said. More and more, this wonderful country of ours is becoming more and more anti-Christian, more and more anti-God, and we're beginning to realize that word that came many, many years ago could be right on. The church may have to go underground. We may not. Talk about separation of church and state. They want to separate it right out of the country. Get rid of it entirely. This is our great government we're talking about. More and more as opposed to anything of Christian. You see, but we don't know what we're going to go through. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean everything is going to smell like a blessing. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be fun. But sometimes some of the things that come up are very necessary in order to get us where we need to be. Now there was occasion one time, Jacob needed to be at a certain place. A place that was going to be called Bethel. God wanted to meet him there. He was to have a dream where sees the ladder reaching from earth to heaven. The angels of God ascending and descending. Now, God's got a problem. How are we going to get Jacob there? Well, it had some events that take place. Jacob stole Esau's blessing. Stole his birthright. Next thing you know, Esau wants to kill him. Jacob is on the run. And where does he go? Winds up right where God wanted him to be. Very important place. You don't know. Where is it that God wants you to be tomorrow or next week What is the place that he's got prepared for you? Now, what kind of events is it going to take to get you there? Now, if everything's going good, you're just blessed out of your socks, you got a good job, everything's rosy, you may not get where God wants you to be. He may have to turn things around a little bit to get you where he wants you to be. Do we know who we are? Do we know who the Lord is? Do we know that he is the Lord? Do we know for sure that he is the Lord over our lives and that he's not going to let our life go lacking for any good thing that he wants us to have? Sometimes the best thing that we need is some unpleasant thing to happen to get us where we need to be. We talk about being led of the Lord and following the Lord, and we want to follow the Lord whithersoever he leads, but sometimes he takes us through places that aren't fun. Sometimes there's a lot of events that have to happen to get us where God wants us, and they're not fun. Can we be like Paul and say, I know both how to be abased without complaining, and I know how to abound without getting big-headed about it. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. Oh, listen to that. In everything that happens in my life, there is instruction from God in it. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. Everything, if you're really following the Lord and he's your Lord and you know who you are, you can have that kind of trust that everything that happens in your life, there's instruction in it from the Lord for you. In all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In verse 10, he said he rejoiced in the Lord because the Philippians, they wanted to meet his need, but they lacked opportunity. And in verse 14, Paul says, notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. See, Paul went through things. Sometimes it was necessary for the Philippians to give, to minister unto Paul. Well, if Paul didn't have a need, they may not do it. So sometimes God will put you through it just to get other people to minister to you. See, all kind of things. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed. I like that. Everything you go through, there's instruction in it. Are you hearing what God is saying? I like that, instructed.
Yeah.
There's instructions from God in your life and everything you go through. So what we learn is how important it is that we learn how to hear the voice of the Lord in every situation.
Yeah.
And how you're going to hear what God's speaking in a situation that's unpleasant if all you're doing is moaning and groaning and griping and complaining. You miss the instructions. You don't hear what he's saying. Lord, help us. Amen.